It is likely that Brother Russell composed the morning resolve, or at least edited the final draft. My morning resolve appears to have been introduced in 1913, after the vow of 1908. It has the same overall intent as the vow, and it could be regarded as a supplement to the original vow in that the first paragraph focuses on the admonition to fulfill my vows. At this time in Bible student history, it would have been obvious to most that this refers to the vow that had been adopted at Bethel, since other than consecration, Bible students then and now are unaware of any scriptural vows that had to be adopted. Our resolve is our decision for the day. We are determined and have made a decision to be in harmony with my morning resolve and its contents. We allow it to shape in our day. Our resolve starts with, my earliest thought I desire shall be. Our earliest thought, or the thought that awakens our day. This thought, this resolve, is for right now, not any other day, but right today. Proverbs 4, 25 and 26, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and allow your and all your ways will be established. If we can intercept our flesh while it is just waking up, we can control it, shape it, to walk these paths. The resolve continues. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. What benefits do you and I have? They're too numerous to mention. But Romans 8, 31 and 28. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Remember that God causes all things to work together for you. God caused these things to be. So, what can you render back to God? And the answer is, the cup of salvation is what we render. We're willing to drink from this cup. We accept our training in righteousness for right today. We accept our trials, the highs, the lows. And these fit into our plan of being faithful to God. The resolve continues, and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. Why do we call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help us with what? The New Jerusalem Bible, I'd like to read Ephesians 6, 11 to 13. This is quite an interesting scripture, I find. Put on the full armor of God so as to be able to resist the devil's tactics. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but against the principalities and the ruling forces who are masters of the darkness in this world, the spirits of evil in the heavens. That is why you must take up all God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the evil day, or stand your ground, even though you exert yourselves to the full. Many voices wish that you would call upon them. But we only call upon God. It is impossible to be an overcomer on your own. You can't do it. Listen to Ephesians, or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the evil day or stand your ground, even though you exert yourselves to the full. It is only by calling upon the Lord for grace to help that we can do this. Our resolve continues. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. How do we pay our vows? What is a vow? To make a vow unto the Lord, we speak it. We have each made a covenant or a promise to God to sacrifice. Our life experiences form our development. If we desire, then speak these thoughts, we will have them. Our resolve continues with remembering the divine call. Gather my saints together unto me. We first come together as the flock of sheep, and then together we sacrifice by our promise. We are gathered to be sons of God. Saints of God, gather my saints to me. Bring in the harvest wheat, not for revealment today, but gather to me to permit your learning and your training. If you are justified, if you are sanctified, and God has accepted your sacrifice, you are being trained and tested as a saint. The saints are joined to Christ as he is our head. We are being gathered to God for a wedding. My resolve continues. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interests. 2 Corinthians 8:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. John 15, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And verse 5, for apart from me, you can do nothing. How much grace do you need? 2 Corinthians 12:9. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. You will receive enough for this day today. Now we must fulfill our vow. We made it. We said it. But now we fulfill it. We continue the work of sacrificing. Yesterday is done. Today we sacrifice. We control our heart motives, our tongues, and we do not desire after the futile ways of the world and the desire for lust and pleasures. My resolve continues, that I may attain to the heavenly inheritance and joint heirship with my Redeemer. We strive for one faith, one hope, and one baptism. There is only one call to a heavenly hope. And as Gentiles, we are grafted into this branch, this hope. We hope to inherit the heavenly promise, joint heirs according to Christ. And we need a Redeemer. We are but vapors, as the Scripture says. We were nothing before the Holy Spirit taught us, and we could be nothing afterwards. It is only once we receive our reward at death, and we are joined in marriage to Christ, that we have accomplished anything. The resolve continues and tells us, how can we be simple and sincere towards all? First, we help others understand us. This means that we're easy to approach. You are easy to get to know. You're easy to shake hands with and easy to get a hug from. You're easy to talk scriptures with. You and I are always welcome to approach Christ in God. Likewise, you and I must be easy to approach in every facet of life. The resolve continues, I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This says that God who is at work in you does it for his good pleasure, not ours. A feeling of arrogance and being superior to others may guarantee you or I a place outside the church class. We have meat in due season because of God's grace or unmerited favors, not because you and I were deserving. So we both must keep spiritual pride in tight check. I will honor the Lord, the resolve says, Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. Our resolve continues, I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. While Jesus was dying on the cross, his blood dripped on the ground. Those drops of blood were so powerful, they purchased the earth, so one day it could be restored to Garden of Eden conditions. That same powerful blood was used to purchase the life of the brother or sister sitting next to you. Do you and I grasp that? What respect do you and I have for Christ's blood? Figuratively speaking, the brother or sister sitting next to you is on death row. There is no second chance. If someone in our fellowship were actually on an earthly death row, waiting, how would you help? What would you do for them? Whatever your answer is, this is how we should help all our fellowship. We are all on death row. No second chance. If you came to visit this person, would you be careful what you said? Would your words be one of eternal encouragement to be strong and faithful? Tomorrow they may die. Would you want every word to be blessed to them, to all? We want to approach all brethren in the same manner. We are approaching flesh that has been purchased and paid for by Christ's blood. And when we put in context the brethren, those who agree with your opinions and those who don't, were each purchased with Christ's blood, this should forever change the way we speak and the manner of our voice to one another. Respect the blood and respect the brethren through blessed spoken words. Would you rather be accused of being too kind or accused of being too harsh? Our resolve continues, I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with which whom I have to do, and not only in the great matters, but also in the little things of life. Faithful to the Lord? This is where your studies on patient endurance come to play. We plan to be faithful for day one, then we try for day two, and then seven, and then 30, and then we try and pace ourselves for the long haul and maintain. We're on a good path. I will seek to be faithful to the truth. We keep the truth simple like it is, so that any who hears it wants to hear more. We remember that our knowledge of truth is a privilege which should humble us and never puff us up. I will seek to be faithful to the brethren. We wash one another when we get dirty. We never remove the right hand of fellowship. God makes those decisions, not you or I. What gives Brother Arbor the right to remove the right hand of fellowship? Moreover, our truth opinions are not yardsticks to measure our brethren with. God does the measuring. When we think about this, we were asked to come out of her, my people. And we did. Where are we to go? We came to be with you, brethren. Now that we're here, let's be faithful to all brethren in our aim of one faith, not two, one hope, not two, and one baptism. Why? Because if you and I can't fit into the one now, we may prove to God we can't fit into the one church. Faithful to the brethren, Galatians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of faith. The meaning of this scripture is we are to foresee the needs of the brethren. In other words, we look for opportunities to fill the needs of the brethren before they ask or before they know they have a need. We are not to foresee the needs of the world. We help the world when they ask. But for brethren, we foresee the needs of the brethren. This is how we prove faithful to the brethren. Our resolve continues, trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare. Jeremiah 29:11, you all like it. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. What magnificent words to trust. Not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. I will seek not only to be pure in heart, Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This means that we are perfect in the good intention of your heart and the matters which your heart presides on. Your Father has only good intentions for you. You are to have the same for all his purchased family. Our resolve tells us to repel all anxiety, Matthew 6:31 and 32, from King James. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So, brethren, we do this. We repel all anxiety through thought and prayer. We repel all discontent, and we repel our discouragement. Remember that discontent means being dissatisfied. And so Colossians 3:2, set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Reflections on God's promises to you will repel a dissatisfied condition. Repel all discouragement. This is my favorite. Brethren, discouragement is a smart bomb from the adversary. Ephesians 4:27, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Why? He roars around looking to devour you. His smart bomb of discouragement may get you right in the heart. It is well-timed, and it strikes in the middle of your heart and zeal. Watch out for this one, brethren. Do not give the adversary an opportunity to discourage you. Repel discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit. Murmur, remember, is to mumble, and to repine is to complain. And Galatians 5:23 tells us, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Don't complain because you are wrapped in a cloak of righteousness, purchased with the same blood that purchased the earth. That fact should be enough to make us shout for joy. Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Our resolve closes with, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may. My brethren, faith in God is what builds you. He gave it to you so you could know him and be his son. And we know 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, Because He cares for you. So trust God, come what may.